And so we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we bring in a man who we probably made wake up a little bit too early, but we're very appreciative that he did. Chris Trapasso. Chris, welcome to the program, man.
Hey, guys. I have a year-and-a-half-old daughter, so I've been up for a couple hours.
All right. Well, I feel a little less bad then. I really do. All right. Well, at least, and I'll say this too, at least if you're going to be forced to get up, you should at least be forced to get up at a really early hour for a cute reason. And you have one.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely. Absolutely.
All right. So let me pick your brain here for a little bit. So in your latest mock draft, you have the Browns taking DJ Metcalf at 17. What about DJ Metcalf intrigues you?
The fact that he's probably going to measure in above 6'3", over 220 pounds, maybe even bigger than that if you saw that picture on Twitter of him earlier this week. And he's probably going to run under a 4.5. He is truly the – we always hear about this during the combine, during draft season every year – the size and the speed specimen. He kind of reminds me of Josh Gordon, and that's not just throwing that comparison out there for every bigger, faster wide receiver. But Josh Gordon at Baylor was kind of a go route and a screen wide receiver that they just let him use his athleticism that was – more than anyone else on the field to really produce. And that's what they did with DK Metcalf at Ole Miss. He's not an intricate route runner. He's not someone that's amazing after the catch, but you can mold him from what he brings on the physical side. And I think the Browns did get great production out of their receivers this year that on paper was not great. Baker Mayfield really elevated the play of his pass catchers, I think, especially on the stretch. But to have a true number one receiver that will demand a safety over the top, that can win against better and bigger corners on the outside in DK Metcalf, I think would, you know, work wonders for David Njoku over the middle, would help the running game. It would just be a great addition to this kind of blossoming offense.
I mean, we all saw the picture, Chris. I mean, he looks like an absolute monster. I mean, there's no denying the fact. Like, he is really built like an offensive lineman. So what would make this guy fall to 17? Because everything you keep telling me makes me think that this guy's Calvin Johnson 2.0. How would he fall to 17?
He would fall there because, like I mentioned, when you watch his film, you see literally him running go routes, occasionally catching a comeback. They threw him a couple screens, not a lot of, you know, intricate routes that had, you know, post corners or routes that had more than one or two breaks in it. And also, he's coming off a neck injury. He was cleared by doctors about a month ago, but I think anytime you hear a neck injury, that's being pretty serious. And then one other thing on film, I'm not going to call him the next Greg Little, which I know is a name that, you know, fans in Cleveland probably still have some nightmares about occasionally, but there are some drops on film. I don't know if his hands, you would label them as, you know, strong or even soft right now, but just the physical side from him is a notch above everyone in this draft class. And this is a really good wide receiver class. So I think those reasons are why we're not talking about him in the Julio Jones or the Calvin Johnson realm. But he would add a really fun, physical, big element to the Browns offense.
So if this is such a deep receiver class, is there some people you should be targeting a little bit later on in the draft that maybe could help out this ball club as well, bring in a couple of wide receivers, like a Metcalf, and then who is the guy in this draft who you're looking at and seeing as, like, you know, a serious flyer with a really high upside?
I'm going to start with Stanley Morgan from Nebraska. He, to me, is, I mean, I'm not going to call him the opposite of DK Metcalf, but he's smaller. He's 6 foot. He's probably going to be around 190 or 200 pounds. But when you watch his film, he did not have the best quarterback play in Lincoln. He's just all over the field in terms of his twitchiness. He's great after the catch. He can make the acrobatic catch over his head. Runs a ton of routes. He's just, to me, a very well-rounded wide receiver. And I think because he doesn't have the gaudy stats and his team wasn't great, he's kind of off the radar. But I think someone fourth or fifth round that could be a complementary option and could add some really good depth. And then another player that's a little bit more like Metcalf that I don't know if he's going to run fast. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside from Stanford. He's another one, 6'3", is, to me, the best rebounder in the entire wide receiver draft class. And again, it's a great group. Watch his film. You see him making catches with safeties and corners draped on him in the red zone, down the field. Kind of had some build-up speed, not a lot of explosiveness, but he's someone that I think Baker Mayfield would have no problems throwing the football to because he's certainly lets his receivers make plays. Maybe in the second or third round, if they can't go wide receiver in the first, he could be someone that would be kind of a niche player, maybe catch 30 or 40 passes as a rookie, but have 7 or 8 touchdowns just because his ball skills and his ability to box out are that good. I think he can come in right away and be an instant impact player.
Chris Trapasso joining us from CBS Sports draft coverage. It is amazing how we have now started using all these things like rebounding and boxing out and that stuff after watching in, you know, Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates. And that's the best way to put it because these big guys like that are so good at just turning around and boxing out. I coach youth basketball. I wish they'd pay attention to these wide receivers to learn how to box out instead of the NBA players. Anyway. You were saying?
No, I was just saying that this class, I mean, I named Metcalf, I named Arcega Whiteside, Kelvin Harmon from NC State, another 6'3" guy that's great at doing that. N'Keal Harry from Arizona State, 6'4", can also do it. This is a class of power forwards. So if you really need one, maybe not in the first round because some of these guys aren't as athletic as most first-round wide receivers, second or third round, the Browns could certainly pick one there.
All right, I think the Cavs just traded into the NBA draft. All right, so I need to pick your brain. The Browns are also one of the needs that they definitely have is going to be on the offensive line. There's a question mark at left tackle, a couple question marks in the middle as well. They've been pretty sure up the middle. What are the O-linemen that you're looking at? Who's somebody who could definitely fill in at a left tackle spot, whether they're available at 17 or maybe a little bit later?
Two guys. In the first round, I think Jawan Taylor out of Florida. He's played right tackle with the Gators, but I don't see any reason why he can't play left tackle. He is a physical mauler. He's already NFL strong. I mean, he was dominating SEC edge rushers just with his upper body strength. He's a pretty good athlete as well. He kind of outshined his left tackle teammate who came into the season with a lot more buzz, Martez Ivy. He's someone probably in the first round just because he's 6'5 and he's 330 and he can really move. In the second round, Yadni Kajust, kind of a unique name out of West Virginia, but someone else that will check all the physical boxes, 6'5 and 320, watch for that, you know, high-flying offense with Will Greer, air raid system, so similar to what Baker Mayfield had at Oklahoma. Not the best athlete, but in terms of his pass blocking, he got a lot of experience doing that. Not a lot of defenders pushed him back because he is so strong already. Second or third round for him, I think you can get a starter there, and the Browns could insert him right away in front of Greg Robinson and have him starting week one.
Wow, that's definitely somebody to keep an eye on. All right, the other side that I have to ask you about then is a lot of people are looking at that first pick in 17 to get a edge rusher. How does this edge rusher draft look? Is this a draft you should jump on an edge rusher if you're sitting at 17, or is it one of those where the top is kind of heavy and then after that it falls off?
I think both. It is the best defensive line, and that's interior and on the outside, class that I've ever scouted in terms of it's top heavy. There's elite guys. There's Nick Bosa. There's Josh Allen. There's Cleveland Farrell from Clemson that are probably going to go in the top 10. But then there's someone like Montez Sweat from Mississippi State that was super productive in the SEC, is 6'6", has super long 36-inch arms, really powerful, high-motor guy. I think he would be a great pick. Not exactly Myles Garrett athletically, but I think those would be two towering presence on either side of the edge for Cleveland. And then there's good, you know, second and third-round players. Brian Burns from Florida State. All he needs to do is add some weight. He's only about 235 or 240, but, you know, his ability to bend the edge and his quickness and explosiveness off the line are up there with Nick Bosa or Josh Allen, who are going to go probably a full round ahead of him. I think picking someone like Montez Sweat, Ja'Kai Polite out of Florida, kind of reminds me of Jerry Hughes, a smaller but really refined, bendy edge rusher. I think at 17, that would make sense as well. The Browns, somewhere in the first three rounds, I think you're right, they do need to get that bookend to Myles Garrett, and they could pick one really in any one of those three rounds and get a quality player because it's that top-heavy and deep of an edge rusher class.
Very interesting, Chris. Chris Trapasso of CBS Sports joining us to cover a little bit of draft. They do. They need a bookend on the other side. They need somebody who can definitely take some of the pressure off of Myles Garrett to get so far in. I mean, the best that they had was Larry Ogunjobi going into the year, and he was a nice pass rusher, but he's coming off the D-tackle spot. So that bookend D-end, are you better off in this draft going D-end looking for a pass rusher or into the linebacker category?
Probably defensive end. The linebacker group is good, but it's not – I think it's good at the top. It's not as deep. Devin White from LSU is probably going to be the first linebacker off the board. He's a bigger, really athletic. Kind of reminds me of Miles Jack. He's going to be the first one off the board. Devin Bush from Michigan, short. He's probably going to be under 6 foot, but he's a dynamic athlete from Michigan. I think if you do want a pass rusher on the outside, and even on the or even at defensive tackle, I think next to Larry Ogunjobi, there's a ton of interior pass rushers that I think the Browns could plug in right away and kind of let him just eat against the run and let that other defensive tackle just attack upfield. I think Draymond Jones right there from Ohio State would be a great pick in the second round. He's ready to be a pro pass rusher, needs to get a little better against the run. I'm trying to go through all the picks here. Christian Wilkins from Clemson can really do anything you want on the defensive line. So this, again, defensive line from nose tackle out to the edge rusher spot, first two or three rounds, you want to pick one because you're going to get a good player there.
Perfect. That's exactly what the Browns need, is a deep, exactly everything you said, a deep defensive end, a deep linebacker pass rushing class. Mixed with some wide receivers and that stuff, this is setting up for just another slam dunk draft. All right, I owe this because I had a journalism teacher long ago that said, ask the obvious question. So what do you think of Kyler Murray, Chris?
Yeah, I've been asked that a lot this week. I've been on
figured you
radio shows, and every single one, like when the producers called me, they said, hey, can we talk about Kyler Murray? Can we talk about Kyler Murray? Which makes sense because he's the most polarizing player in this class. I have him as my second best quarterback behind Drew Lock. Not as high on Dwayne Haskins after rewatching him. I liked him during the season, and I'm just watching his games consecutively. I still think he's a good prospect. I think Murray is better inside the pocket, and he's just a fascinating player because you see his athleticism. You see that he's maybe going to only be 5'9", and you think, oh, he probably just looks to his right, doesn't like what he sees, and then takes off. But really, he didn't do that often at Oklahoma. It was really a last resort for him, and he can make, you know, what would... I think Kyler Murray is going to ultimately go in the top half of the first round because he has an NFL arm, even though he's smaller, and because, like I said, only 1 year starting experience, but pretty good and patient inside the pocket. It was really strange seeing it because most athletic quarterbacks I've seen or I've scouted, they just like to run. It's kind of their default if they don't like what they see or if pressure is kind of mounting on them, and Kyler Murray doesn't do that. He needs to be with the right offensive coordinator. They need to kind of incorporate what the Browns did with Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield. So fit will certainly matter. I like him. I don't think he's a slam dunk change the game quarterback like some people do. Have him as a first-round grade, late first-round, but I think just the value of the position will push him up in April.
Chris, we really appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for getting up early. I know the kid had something to do with it, but we really appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Anytime. Thanks.
Take it easy, dude. Chris Trapasso of CBS Sports there. A lot of good stuff. I got a whole page of notes after talking to him. See, this is why we like talking to smart people on this show.